welcome to CEO Power Talk, a space where C-level executives share their personal and corporate mission, vision, and strategies acquired to hold the highest ranking positions in their organization. Our mission is to develop a collective network of change agents that provide access to resources and opportunities for all leaders. I am your host, Laura C. Bullock, and I am very excited to be with you today. As a strategy consultant, I believe that the only way for us to create the life we want is to break through those barriers that paralyze us, that challenge the status quo, and stand firm for the life that we want. Today, we're going to talk about leadership courage and how do we put it into practice. But let me first introduce my guest, Shonda Carter. Shonda is the CEO of Showstopper Productions, a creative agency conceived to evangelize across multiple platforms and capture the humanity of complex social causes. And Shonda is coming to us live from Lawton, Oklahoma. Welcome, Shonda.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing very well. We're having an ice storm in Oklahoma, but other than that, we're doing great.
Wow. Well, it went from 109 to 60 degrees in Arizona in the matter of days.
Oh,
so it's a beautiful evening here. Yes, yes. You know, it's been a moment since we had our early morning conversations. It's been quite a while. Tell my guests what you've been up to during this COVID-19 mess.
Oh, my. Okay. before COVID-19, I was in a graduate school. I was on my way to completing my Master of Arts in spiritual formation, and I was touring with my one-woman show, and it's a one-woman show. It's in the format of a one-woman show, but it's a WON. I perform women from the Bible who have helped me. Their stories have helped me to continue on this purpose-filled journey. And then COVID hit, and, you know, the next thing I know, I'm trying to get money back from all of these vendors that I, you know, had booked.
Oh, no.
And, you know, having to refund ticket sales. And so it was a little, you know, like most, it was a little challenging, you know, trying to ask, well, what am I supposed to do now? So since then, I did graduate in May, and my graduation was canceled. I was, you know, a little bratty about that. That's okay, though. I had my little emotions about that because it was a lot of work. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be rewarded from time to time. I mean, we don't want to shun that. It's like I worked very hard for that. And my daughter, she was graduating from high school, so we had to deal with her emotions, my emotions, you know, all of this disappointment. And it was like 2020 was supposed to, you know, you start off, it's supposed to be such a great year. Every year is a great year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then it's like, hey, what am I supposed to do now? So we, you know, after working through all of that, you know, working through what's next. Now I just filled out an application for admission to get my doctorate in ministry. So we're just moving right on along.
Nice.
You know, yeah, pitfalls
that
and
is amazing.
Highs and lows, and you just keep going. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, life is full of those, right?
Oh, yes.
So tell us a little bit about Showstoppers and how it came to be.
Showstoppers came to be because I'm a visual person, and what it is, and I'm a creative person. I didn't know I was creative way back then, but I started doing a drama skit for my church, and I didn't know I was that talented. Like, I know that there's been some people out there, like some people say, did you take theater when you were little? I'm like, no, I had no idea. I was in a criminal justice background. Like, I was a probation officer. I was in corrections. I was in child support enforcement. I was on the fast track in that line of work. And then I got into doing drama ministry, and then people kept like, every day, you're so creative. I'm like, who are you talking to? And it was so natural. And it was like a gift. It was natural. It was a gifting to where I'm like, I wasn't even aware of it. It's like, that's not creative. That's just, you know, I put that on video. And
right.
I kept learning more and more about video. And then people would ask, like, how did you come up with that idea? Or, you know, and just a little truth, I did not take theater when I was a child, but I did want to be, I know you're old enough to know, remember the show Bewitched?
Yes.
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 Okay. Now, yes. I didn't want to be Samantha. I wanted to be Darren Stevens because I thought his job in advertising was so neat to come up with all of that stuff. So it's like, you know, God does give you hints along the way. So I'm like, wow, mm-hmm. I don't want all the magical powers and, you know, to, you know, get everything I want. I want his job. And I was thinking about that, you know, but that's how it came to be, is I wanted to help people bring their vision to life, bring their vision, get their vision on video, and to not have to do things a certain way. Like,
yes.
Just get out of the box a little bit. And it started off with in the gym realm, but then when I got into the mm-hmm. world of the entrepreneurs and all of the coaching boom came across, I started helping coaches as well get their ideas across and be able to have their own personality on film. So that's how that came to be.
That's amazing. And so my question, you know, following that is this, is, and you kind of touched on it, is the inspiration behind this enormous amount of creativity you have. And I know you have it. I've witnessed it. And so mm-hmm. I know you talked about it kind of came out, but what inspired you and said, that's the thing?
You know, honestly, it goes back to church, because I was looking around and I was looking at all these people, and we'd get a sermon and I would hear it, and I just couldn't get it. I didn't know as a visual learner back then. I didn't. And I just kept like, mm-hmm. I don't get it. Like, what's wrong with me? I really thought something was wrong with me. And then, you know, through coaching and gathering information and learning about yourself, I learned that I was a visual learner. So when I put a message, or if I saw, I can get a message out of any movie, any song, any video, any song, mm-hmm. any movie. And I'm like, how come I can get a message out of a movie? And that's when I made the connection about being visual. And a lot of times when I would put things on, I would do a little visual drama ministry, or I would act out a character. Like, it didn't have to always be in screen, but I would put myself as the character of the Bible when I was doing a Bible lesson. And people would always say, mm-hmm. I'm a visual learner, that really helped me. And I'm like, oh, so that's how I kind of made the connection that, you know, in some areas, the visual learner can get a little overlooked. So that's when I started like, yeah, this needs to be explored, because I remember feeling so lost and wanting to understand church, because I felt like such an outsider. And I'm like, I might not be the only one. You know, sometimes we think we're the only ones that think that way. And then, you know, we finally get a little information saying, no, you're not the only one. So, you know, a couple mm-hmm, of brave mm-hmm. souls. I'll never forget it. There was one message I did on forgiveness. And mm-hmm. what the message was, it was revenge and forgiveness. And the lady had got bitten by a snake. She was out hiking. And her friend was like, come on, we've got to get you to the hospital. She's like, I'm not going anywhere until I find that snake. Now, we had filmed this up in the mountains, and she was looking for the snake, and then she died. Now, it sounds really horrible, but it was funny. But it was a woman came up to me, and she stopped me. I'd never seen it before, and I never saw her again. She stopped me, and she says, I finally get it. And I was like, I will never forget that to this day, and that keeps me going sometimes when I think no one's paying attention, no one's listening, I'm not getting the Facebook likes, I'm not getting the YouTube, you know.
Right, right.
I still remember that mm-hmm, woman saying, mm-hmm. I finally get it. I understand. Mm. So that's what keeps me going, and that's what inspires me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, God will give us those little messages and those mm-hmm. confirmations to let us know we're on the right track.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about this one-woman show. What was that breakthrough moment for you that said this one-woman show is what needs to be happening at this particular moment?
Wow. That one-woman show, which it was a combination of what I've been doing for years. And it was so wonderful the way God did it, because the work was already done. I'd been doing those characters for at, you know, across the, you know, people would invite me to speak at churches, and at my church there was a noonday Bible study, and like I said, I would dress up as a Bible character or some type of character and deliver it that way. And how the One Woman Show came to be was I picked out the women in the Bible that I learned so much. Like, it's like, you know, when you go talk to your grandma or you talk to those wise mm-hmm. women that give you that, just drop that knowledge on you. And it was also yes. helping people see these women from a different perspective, such as Hagar. There's so much richness in her story. And a lot of people just see her as, oh, you don't want to be a Hagar. And it's like, well, you know, if we keep, you know, if you read, you know, read it, there's a lot of good qualities about Hagar. Like, you know, we're not going to have the same exact situation, but it's like we're right. so quick to just read it from, well, this is the perspective you're supposed to read it, changing perspectives. And the Shunammite woman, you know, grieving, you know, when God promises you something and you lose it and you lose all hope, and then you're like mad at God, which she was. And I like a lot of people just stop at her and say, well, it is well. It's like, no, you need to explore these emotions. And she helped me to explore these emotions like, hey, I'm mad at you, God. You know, I was mad at COVID-19. Mm-hmm. I didn't go through it with like everyone else going, oh, God, I, in my head, I knew he had it. But at the same time, it's like, mm-hmm. no, I was on a roll. I was finally doing what you told me to do, you know? So it's like,
right,
you know,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So those women hearing their stories and how they helped me to pursue my dreams and pursue the purpose and the destiny that, you know, God had planned for me. And we, mm-hmm. you know, you let it be known that we've known each other for a minute. You know where I
yeah,
came from.
Yeah.
You know, it was like,
I do.
So, like, you
know, I do.
So that
yeah, we were walking the same road there for a moment. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes, absolutely. And it was good
and,
to
and we're
going to
be talking
to
about that
you.
Confidence.
Good, mm-hmm. good, good, yes, good. And it was good to be able to have you. And I had in those Bible women those stories, and to be able to share those stories and to show how they helped me. Because people, when you get a little success, people, you know, sometimes don't want to hear all the time about the struggle. They just want to hear
right.
about the good things. I'm like, no, you have no idea. I used to be scared. Like, I remember. And then sometimes we can struggle with feeling misunderstood as well. With me being creative and a
mm-hmm.
visual person and not feeling like I fit in certain places, it was kind of therapeutic to show, you know, yes, I'm wacky, yes, I'm funny, but, you know, there's some other sides. And if people are 3D, we have different sides, and we shouldn't, like, I understand that there's branding and you're, you know,
mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
when it comes to human beings, and, you know, we have to get past some of the branding sometimes and get to know and hear the heart when we're talking to people and about people. And I also left off when you asked me something else, what I was doing. I also am going to be a certified spiritual director. So that's going to leak out from time to time. And it's really like a professional listener. I listen to people, I hear
oh.
their stories, and I direct them, you know, towards, you know, well, what's God saying in this moment to help them along their path? So it all fits in under this big umbrella that God has
mm-hmm.
given me, don't know
yeah.
why, to this day. Like, but it's like I accept the here I am, send me. But, yeah,
uh-huh,
so
uh-huh.
I've just been mm-hmm. – so those Bible women really helped me out. And, like, I get to share Bible stories. You get to have some laughs. Oh, my gosh. Like, you
mm-hmm.
get to laugh. Like, and it's a combination of entertainment – plus script, you know, plus purpose, plus scripture. And I'm asking all the questions that sometimes we're not encouraged to ask, like, why did you do that, God? Why would
uh-huh,
you pick
uh-huh.
me, God? One of the characters is asking,
uh-huh.
why would you pick me? Like, there's so much stuff wrong with me. You know, like I said, the Shunammite woman, why would you do that? Why would you raise my hopes up only to dash them like that? I can't believe you would do that
right.
to me. One of the characters is, why can't I just do what I want and have what I want? Why? You know, I used to have a life where I got to do what I wanted. Like, it's so
right before
like,
I got with you.
Why do I have to take yeah, like, why do I have to take the long road around, like, $1,000?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why can't I do that? So I'm asking all the
yeah.
questions through the character, you know, through the guy, you know, through comedy, so it doesn't hurt as
mm-hmm.
much. You can kind of laugh your way
mm-hmm.
into it and go think about it a little bit later. But, yeah, I love
yeah.
that one. I love it. It's called Me, Myself, and Why.
Oh, I love it. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And so talk
mm-hmm.
about the vulnerability you had to display to get into these characters.
Oh, my goodness.
That'd be huge.
That, you know, that's the funny thing is I love being vulnerable. I really, really do. And it's like what I had to overcome was people not comfortable with me being vulnerable, especially when you're in certain spaces. It's like, you mm-hmm. know, I come from a background of faith, not I'm trying to think the right way. Word of faith. I'm sorry. Yes, word of faith. I mean, excuse me. What do you mean? You come from faith? Everybody got faith. No, the word of faith background where, you know, they do confessions and you're not allowed to say anything mm-hmm. negative. It's like as soon as you say something negative, it could – well, that's why your confession didn't work. So I was the one that was like, no. So I, like I said, like not fitting in, not being misunderstood, being labeled as, mm-hmm. you know – a certain way. So that was, but I was willing to do that because, and it wasn't for, it was just because I wanted answers that bad. Like, I don't care anymore that I don't fit in.
Yes.
It's, like, it's not going to happen.
Well, so, it goes back to,
I need those answers.
You know,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it goes back to being ready to stand in and stand firm for what you want. So if you want those answers,
mm-hmm.
God,
mm-hmm.
I'm willing to do whatever. I'll show myself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but, and then
I love
it. And then you have to be okay. You have to be okay with some people are not comfortable with vulnerability. You know, people, we can look at it as like, it's great, it's freeing, it's fantastic. But I have to also understand that it does make some people uncomfortable. And not just be that same type of person to say, this is how I do it. You need to like what I do. And I accept that some mm-hmm. people don't like what I do. And I accept that some people are uncomfortable with it. And I just roll mm-hmm. from there. So that's been the most thing, the thing that I've had to learn, that I have learned the most.
Yes. Well, and that actually helps me because I know that there are people in my space that aren't comfortable with me becoming who I am
mm-hmm.
because it's
mm-hmm.
not who they expected me to be.
Yes.
And so
this
message that you're sharing right now is actually blessing me as well.
That's wonderful. Yes. And once you know that, it frees you
mm-hmm.
even more. When you realize that's normal,
mm-hmm.
that was the
mm-hmm.
thing. It's
mm-hmm.
like learning, there is so many, it's normal. That's normal. It's normal. Like I had doubts about, you know, I doubted God and I just was so torn up about it. And then to learn, like, you know what? It's normal. You're not a robot. You have emotions. You know, God is not surprised. And when I introduce some normalcy to this whole success road, it's normal for it to be rocky. It's not like the fairy tale that some people have said. Now, if you've had mm-hmm. a fairy tale and you did, you know, immediately come out the box, I'm going to applaud you too. I used to be jealous,
right?
But it's more normal for it to be harder. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And once you realize that and you stop beating yourself up thinking that you're wrong or something's wrong with you or you must be the failure, it helps you, it frees you up so much more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sounds like it. But you know that all of this creativity that you have and all of this, you know, just amazing talent, do you ever find yourself having to harness like the shiny penny syndrome? It's like, ooh, I want to do that, and ooh, I want to do that, and ooh, I want to do that. Do you ever find yourself where you have to say, whoa, wait, hold up, you can't go there yet?
I used to. I did.
Okay.
There was I made a lot of expensive mistakes. You know, jumping out. You know, doing all kinds of things. I definitely had to. And then, you know, jumping on the next trend. So it's why I say I used to is because I did have to rein myself in and say, hey, we're going to stick with this. And like you said, we're going to talk about this a little more. It was part of it is, you know, not taking the time to find the right coach and being influenced by other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like even when
mm-hmm.
you know, like, I don't want to do that. But when other people, there's a saying that says, if you don't know who you are, people will make you into who they need you to be.
They want.
And
mm-hmm.
I found
mm-hmm.
that happened to me a lot. And I was thrown, yeah. like every time I got another coach trying, you know, I was thrown in another direction. And it was a very
yeah.
expensive lesson, and it took me a long time to learn it. So, yeah,
yes,
thank
yeah.
you for that question.
We share that experience, don't we?
Yes.
Being put in a box, in their box,
yes.
not even a cute, pretty box like we wanted,
mm-hmm.
but their box.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely –
their box.
Yeah, and so I'm happy to hear that you have found a way to, you know, kind of rein yourself back in. What do you think that took?
Mm-hmm.
What did that take? Besides the fact that your bank account said, don't do this no more.
Well, the bank account was the loudest. I'm just
saying,
you will not do
right.
that anymore.
Right, right.
You know, it was having, you know, having the talk with yourself, with you know, with the Lord, and finding out what my purpose is. Like sometimes, like I said, we just know that there's a purpose. So we're hoping that there's people out there that can help us along the way. And discovering,
mm-hmm.
I always say purpose is a dressing room. And it's like, so now when I see something like I might want to do, I take it to my dressing room and I see if it fits. And I go, no, it looked better
wow.
on her. Oh no, that it doesn't look good on me. No, doesn't fit. Put it back. So that's what keeps me from, you know, making those types of mistakes anymore. There was actually
mm-hmm.
a woman that wanted to start a ministry with me, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. It started out great, and we were going to, you know, do a lot of things in the community. And I'm going to make this a really short story. She started hearing things, and then so she changed it to, no, let's not call it a ministry. Let's call it an organization. And I'm like immediately like, no, I signed up for a ministry. And I'm like, you're letting outside voices tell you what's best, and I didn't sign up for that. And then it was, you know, all the decisions being made were, well, God told me this and God told me that. I'm like, but okay, well, God hasn't told me that. So, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
like you have to stand firm. You have to,
yeah.
you know who
yeah.
you are and know what you're going to do. So eventually I just said, you know, if God is having these private meetings with you and only telling you things, I must not be needed. So I bravely broke off the relationship. I mean, we're still friends, but I bravely
yeah.
said, you know, this is not, it didn't fit. It did not fit. And she's doing fantastic things with this organization.
Yeah.
She really is. But when I look at mm-hmm. it, I look at it now and go, oh my gosh, I'd be so exhausted. I would not have been able to get my master's degree. I would not have been able to start my
yes.
one woman show. So
yes.
saying no
yes.
is a great thing sometimes. Absolutely. Knowing what fits and what looks good. And I always say, don't have those American Idol friends. You know, those people that go and and audition for American Idol and they sound terrible. And you're like, why didn't your friends and family tell you not to do that?
My mother-in-law would say,
my
mother-in-law would always say, she probably doesn't have any friends.
Yes, there you go.
No one told her.
No one told her. And I get mad at the ones that are there and going, what are you talking about? She sounds good. I'm like, why would you do that to her? But, you know, just having the right, also having the right people around you is very important as well. My husband has been by my side, you know, and loving me, like I said, through all those mistakes, and some of them he doesn't even know about with the bank account. So,
right.
Just the right people that are willing to not only cheer for you, but be there to pick you up, like when you're devastated, or you know, when you're crying, or when it's saying it's not working, I'm going to give up. You know, having that
mm-hmm,
section, having
mm-hmm.
your people around you is very important as well.
Your amen corner.
Amen. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen. Corner. You got to have your amen. That's my
mm-hmm.
my spiritual coach calls it the amen corner. He says you must always have
love
your amen
that.
Corner.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Those people
mm-hmm.
cheering over there with the pom pom. And so you brought up a word that I want to dive into now. You said brave. You said you have
mm-hmm.
to be brave and know when it fits. Let's talk a little
mm-hmm.
bit about what I call leadership courage, which is,
You know, when people are able to push through that those really uncomfortable situations, and they're willing to make those very difficult decisions and don't back down when things get too hard. And so that sounds like where you were with this young lady about the ministry versus the organization. Let's talk about the courage it took, the bravery it took to step away, even though you thought it might have been a good fit.
Yes. And like I said, with, you know, looking, it's easy when you look back and you can see, but like you said, the bravery comes in before you can see. Like, now I can see, oh, no, that was not a good fit. The bravery, I would say, was just having the inkling of this is not a good fit. And knowing this young lady, she is a go-getter. So I knew that whatever she put her mind to, I knew it was going to be a success. I'd seen her. So to say no, that doesn't fit for what I'm called to do, we can say, you know, it takes a lot of courage to say yes to Jesus, and it takes a lot of courage to say no to people. When, you know, you've said yes to Jesus and you're pursuing what, you know you're called to do, it took a lot, because I'm going to be honest, I still struggle with missing out. Like, you know, and one of the things that I said was, I hinted too, it's like, I knew it was going to be a success. And she has made it a success. The difference is, I'm happy for her now maturing. I'm happy that she made it a success. Whereas before, I'd have been jealous. Like, why did I tell her no? Or I would have hung on for the wrong reasons, you know, just because I knew she's going to make it successful. And then it's like, oh, with my skills and talents, we're going to go through the roof, you know. And sometimes you have to, if everything, even if it's good, if it's not a good fit, it's not good for you. And that's what needs to be, that's bravery, is knowing and accepting this is not the right decision. And like I said, I'd had so practice making such bad decisions that I could not even in good conscience continue to make bad decisions knowing that I was making a bad decision.
Right. And so let's talk about your Amen Corner. What are the types of people you have there? What makes up your strong support system?
Well, we talked about my husband. That's my number one supporter, financially, emotionally, you know, all of the things.
Right.
That's my number one. My adult children now, not so much back in, you know, a few years ago, but my adult children now, they look to me now as an inspiration. Now we're able to have conversations and be friends because they're adults now. So they are in my, they're like, Mom, you know, you're such an inspiration, you know. So they're my inspiration now to, you know, keep going and showing them what purpose, don't take shortcuts, you know, doing what you're supposed to do, staying on the road. I have actually spiritual parents that will tell you, like parents, no, you know, or they're not, they will tell you, no, that's not good, that's Jack, no, you were wrong. You have to have those people that will tell you you were wrong, and you have to listen to those people.
Yeah.
You have to have people that you're going to listen to, not, oh, you're just being a hater. No, you need to have people that you're going to actually listen to, like when I come up with an idea. As a matter of fact, my spiritual father, when I was ranting and raving about church, he said, well, it just sounds like to me you need to go to school. And I'm like, what? And I was in school like the next 2 weeks after that. Because he doesn't say things like that. You know, it was just like,
right.
God had already been speaking to me about going back to school, and I'd been telling God, no, I'm too old. So when he said that, it was this confirmation. They pray for me. I have friends, people that will drop things and pray for me, you know, I'm getting misty-eyed here. But, yeah, they will. They'll say, not, oh, I'll pray for you. No, we're going to pray right now. You know, you're not getting off this phone until we pray. I have those type of people, and it's wonderful. And then I have people that, you know, I can reach out to with a wealth of knowledge. Like I called you and said, hey, what about this? Do you know anyone? Yeah. I mean, I know you're not. It's so funny. The morning I called you because I'm like, Laura, she's not an actress. She's never done anything like a one-woman show. And then you connect me with someone who did. Look at that.
Yes. And you know what?
So,
and that,
That's what sisters are about. We have to do that more. Where and you said some key phrases that were very poignant in this conversation around jealousy, being afraid to say no because we don't want to miss out. You know, some of those kinds of behaviors that we have to mature out of doesn't happen easy, right? Doesn't happen easy. So talk about another time where you had to display some leadership courage to kind of move that mountain.
Oh, actually, when I wrote my second book, and I'm going to talk about this. All right. When I wrote my second book, my pastor called me, and as soon as the phone rang, I knew exactly what was about to happen. My pastor called me and basically, without getting gossipy, basically said that my book was not welcome. Now, it was a Christian book, but my book was not welcome because he said, the message is good, but you don't have the right to give that message. You're not a pastor. And I went, I have every right. Because God gave me that right. And I said, I was talking to artists and, you know, talking about, you know, not being, I was talking about not being, you know, how to get over feeling unappreciated or not taken seriously. I was, you know, encouraging artists. And I don't know why, but it was taken it seemed like a little insecurity as I was giving a message that was not for, it was, the message was for artists, and other people that read it read something into it that was not there. But I remember his key to me, he says, I hate to tell you this after you've done all this work already. And I said, well, why do you think that I'm going to not publish the book? And it was like an audacity type of thing. Like, I spent, you know, 6 months writing this. My husband and I spent like money getting this edited, you know, and it's like, because you don't approve, you think I'm going to not do what God called me to do and not publish this book. And so that was another leadership. It's like knowing when God has called you to do it. And like I said, with my amen section, I had already run this by my amen section before this came. So it wasn't a rash decision. It wasn't me just going, God told me to do it, I'm going to do it. I checked with people. I checked with the people that would say, you know, no, this isn't a good book. No, this isn't a good message. No, you might be coming off across as haughty. I checked with my crew, my spiritual parents. No, this is a great message. So when he called me and told me that, it was very – no, I'm not going to back down at all. And I ended up eventually having to leave the church because I got left off. It was a very passive aggressive type of thing. I got left off. I was no longer on the schedule to teach. I was no longer on the schedule to sing. I was no longer, you know, just, you know, little passive aggressive things. My husband had been ready to go. And I said, no, we're not going to go until, he goes, I don't want to leave offended. We're not going to go until I got the release. And when I got the release to go, I left and didn't look back. Just like with the organization. When you do it the right way and you do it and called you to do and your purpose, you don't look back. Like I said, I can look at the young lady with the organization and go, wow, she's rocking it. She's doing great things for the community, but I don't feel like I'm missing out. I can look at my former church and I can greet other people from my former church and go, well, that's great, you know, that you go to that church. I learned a lot. I have no ill will. But that's when your bravery gets rewarded. You know, it's like you did the right thing. And you got the courage to make those decisions. You don't look back.
I love that.
You keep moving forward.
Yeah, I love that. That makes so much sense. And being able to really kind of sit in that, right, and let it mature with you. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, you said something that was really important, and I want to just go back to it for a moment. And you said, when God calls you to do it, drop what you're doing and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that in so many messages. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely important. I mean, like I said, I took time to check to see if like, is this God?
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
You should take the time. You know, you want it. The Bible does say count the cost. You know, I checked
count
with my
cost,
husband
yeah.
to say, hey, can we, you know, can I take time off 6 months to write this book? You know, yeah, I wrote a book
mm-hmm.
before. It didn't do well. You know, it's not like, you know, so, you know, I check with him, you know, it's like, yeah, I wrote a book before. It was cute. It was nice. It was great, but it didn't make us millionaires. So it's like, hey, you know, is this okay? Can we do this? Can we, you know, I'm going to be in my office for a while. Can you spare me? You know, those type of things.
Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, so like I said, consider the cost, like, so you don't get shocked because
mm-hmm.
like, the, you know, you won't be in the middle of why am I doing this? You know, or lose focus. It helps you to keep your focus. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you do drop everything and do it and complete it. That's what
mm-hmm.
you need to be the counting the cost for so you can complete it. Because it's very easy to start stuff. Like we said, we can do the shiny penny thing. It's very easy. It's exciting when you first start. What's going to get
mm-hmm.
you through that
mm-hmm.
middle hump? And what's going to get you through when people say, I don't like this and you shouldn't have done this? Like, you can't crumble after that if you know God has done that, as God has called
yes,
you to do it.
Yes, that is so true. So tell us the name of the second book, and is it out?
Oh, my second – oh, yes, it's been out for a minute. My second book is called God is for Real, R-E-E-L, and it's about, you know, how we're talking about the showstopper business and the visual
mm-hmm.
impact of the arts and how God is an artist. And because I say God
mm-hmm.
is an artist, that does not mean that he's not anything else. You know, you look at the mountains and you look at the trees and go, wow, no painting can top this. You know, that's the beauty.
Right,
I was
right.
looking at God as he's an artist, not that he's not anything else,
mm.
everything else.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's
and
amazing.
Helping
so
artists,
tell us about
you know,
the rule breaker. I'm sorry,
oh,
finish what you were saying.
Well, the rule breaker is just all with, that God is an artist, and it's celebrating, you know, how we as artists, you know, musicians, writers, painters, poets, how we can all use our gifts to glorify God, even when it seems like there's no room for us certain places. So that's what the book God is for Real is about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So tell us about the rule breaker. Bible skit maker.
Yeah, the rule breaker.
I read
is,
that and just laughed. It was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, rule breakers in quotes. So.
Okay.
The rules that I'm speaking about, yes, the rules that I'm speaking about are rules that other people have tried to place on me as
mm-hmm.
a black woman, a black person of color, a woman, and a Christian. You know, it's you can't do that, or like now we're in a very tumultuous time where, you know, if you're a Christian, you have to vote a certain way. So those are the rules
right.
that I'm talking about. It's like, because I'm Christian, I'm not subjected to your rules and what you
right.
think I should do. And it's and like how I just said, how my former pastor, you can't write that because you're not a pastor. I'm
mm-hmm.
so those are the type of rules I'm talking about. I break the rules that say you can't when God says I can.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
even our former coach, you know, even former coaches that said, oh, you're not going to make any money doing that. Don't do that. My one
right.
show is a it still is a success. It's just on a
mm-hmm.
hiatus. But I think of all the coaches that said you'll never make any money doing Christian stuff. And it's like,
right.
gosh, why did I ever listen? So now that I'm a rule breaker, I'm breaking other people's rules that they have tried to place on me.
Well, I do believe Jesus was a rule breaker.
Yeah, absolutely. He
right?
he broke what
you know,
they thought.
The rules
thought
that,
yeah, because,
Yeah, I was just going to say the rules that we put on him.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Yep.
With our lack of faith.
Yes.
We're not going to go
I
to church
that.
Tonight, though. But it's true. Right? We don't believe
yes.
he can do
what he said he can do. Mm. So we said, no, you can't do that. The same way you just said people were telling you, you can't do it. Jesus was a rule breaker.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that. Yeah. You talked a little bit about your husband and your adult children. Let's talk family for a moment.
Okay.
How are you balancing all of this in family?
Well, it's really easy now because I'm an empty nester. Yes!
Yay! Yes. And we celebrate you for that because I know having a master's, I know how difficult that could be.
Oh, yes. Yes, actually, it's been, like I said, I have the right husband for this journey, this long, windy journey that God has taken me on. He gave me definitely the right husband to be able to do that. Been extra uber patient with me, and he's really invested in my my success, and I really do appreciate him. Like I said, my adult children, you know, they try to help me out as much as 20-something-year-old children can do, you know, try to support me as much as they have time for me in their 20s. I have some zany grandchildren. Yeah, in their 20s. Yeah, I have some zany grandchildren that are fun and creative and keep my creative juices going. You know, they're 5 and 6.
Amazing.
The girls that get to come over all the time, and we dress up and play makeup and come up with characters and things like that. And even having to minister to them creative ways keeps my creativity going. But now my daughter is in, she's in the university, she attends the University of Memphis, and she's taking philosophy. So she gets the, I was like, oh my gosh, you're going to get the God is dead professor. So we're laughing about this.
Yes.
And then she calls me, she's like, Mom, he told me, you know, so we have to have, we have conversations on a regular basis about her philosophy class. And, you know, I tell her how to defend, like I try to help her defend her faith and, you know, things like that. So it's just been really productive. My mom is my biggest cheerleader. You know, I have spiritual parents and my mother is 45 minutes away. So yes, I'm just very blessed as far as family is concerned.
And so what would you say the secret sauce is to keeping that all in balance?
Saying no.
I love it.
Yeah, because, you know, as much as we love family, sometimes family can, they can impose some things on you as well. Like, you know, I love my grandchildren, but I've raised my kids, and no, because I'm not in an office setting, that does not mean I'm going to babysit all the time, you know? Like, I have homework because I'm going to school. That does not mean they can run around the house, and I'm doing nothing because I'm on the computer, you know, which is what a lot of, you know, family thought that, you know, or that you could call me and speak all day. No, I'm in school.
Yes.
I have a paper due. Oh, but you're smart. That might be true, but I have a paper to do, and I carved out this, this amount of time to do it. So, yeah, saying no, having boundaries, absolutely, with family as well as everyone else. Balances it out very
well.
So
do you feel like, do you feel like this is your second career?
I absolutely do. My husband is my second husband. I got married when I was 17, and I had kids right away. It wasn't a shotgun wedding. I just knew I wanted to have a family right away. And people were like, you're very adamant about that. I'm like, no, I wanted kids young. Because, like, in a sense, I knew this was going to be like a second. Like, I couldn't, like, I was a 20-year-old that couldn't wait to hit 40 for some reason. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be fabulous at 40. I can't wait to hit 40. Like, I'd always said that. And people always, once again, thinking I'm weird, you know, didn't fit in, like I'm an oddball.
Right.
I own it.
Right.
I was like, no, my kids are going to be grown, and I'm just going to be free to do what I want to do, because I was one of those moms that, like, you have kids. Hey, you know, they're here. Take care of them, you know. So, and that's why, you know, take care of them. So it's like with my kids now being grown and having their own kids, like, no, baby, I raised my kids. Nope, this is my time. Like, I am definitely grandma. I visit with my grandchildren. So, yeah. But, yeah, I wanted kids. I had a sense that, you know, this was going to be a good time in my life. And I'm closer to 50 now than 40. But it's been a really good time, and I'm really enjoying this second season of my life. I'm really loving it.
Yeah.
I'm no apologist.
I know.
I'm
it sounds
like
I love that too. Yeah, and we shouldn't have any apologies. And I share with people, you know, sometimes that, you know, there's more days behind me than ahead of me. So I really have to embrace it all, you know. So it's definitely a life fulfilled is what I can say. So so let's do this. What kind of tips would you offer? You've been giving tips out this whole night, girl. I'm going to have a field day with all the tips you've given me. But let's put some things in. What kind of tips would you give a CEO, and I'm calling these power tips, that that helps women understand that you have to have some things woven into the fabric of who you are? What would those tips sound like for her? Two or three.
Those tips would definitely be the getting the not being trapped in a box, and you, like you said, we've been talking about tips all night. So definitely be the rule breaker. Definitely number one would be to know your purpose. As a CEO, what is the purpose of you being at that company? What are you going to bring forth at that company? What are you bringing forth with your business? So that way you can stay on mission. That way you can stay focused on what you're bringing to the table. And, oh, my gosh, as a CEO, like, I feel so honored that you would even ask, because I look at CEOs like, wow, they're so fantastic. They've got it all together. They're great. They're fantastic. What can I say to a CEO?
But you are one, my dear.
I am, but it comes down to that, well, I just do this naturally. So it's like, so it comes across as like, how can I give advice, you know, but I'm going. Definitely knowing who you are, what you bring, and why you're doing it. A lot of times, you know, when we, you know, it's a great idea now. Like I said, the coaching industry is booming, you know, just throwing out there, like, I'm a CEO and I'm going to, like, you have to supply what people want as well as what they need. And that's a lot of times we get caught up in, well, people need this. That's great. But if they don't want it, you're not going to be able to deliver that. Learning how to deliver from your stage. And when I say your stage, it's STAGE. It's skills, talents, abilities, gifts, and a spirit of excellence. Knowing that's how you deliver what it is. That I say purpose. That's how I deliver my purpose, and that's how I know if it fits. It's like I'm using a skill, and you won't get reduced to being in a box, because it's like, I have a stage, I have skills, I have talents, I have abilities, I have gifts, I have so many other things. A lot of times people want to reduce you to just your gifts or just your abilities. It's like, no, there's more. It's an entire stage of things that I can deliver.
And that was powerful, and I love that. I'm gonna have to use that one. That I have a stage, and it's not the stage you think, right?
Right.
So, girl, you know I can talk to you all night, but I'm not gonna do that. I want you to tell me how people can find you.
Oh my gosh, I made it so easy. I made it so easy now. I used to have, you know, 50,000 websites, and, you know, you go to my website, Shonda Carter, S-H-O-N-D-A, Carter.com. And everything that I do, which includes, like, I have a little space for ministry, I have a space for spiritual director, I have a space for my show, I have a space for my coaching, it's all there. You can pick and choose what you want to look at, because that's all my stage.
Well, Shonda, I tell you, it has been such a pleasure talking to you tonight. I feel like we were back in the morning having coffee and trying to solve the world's problems. You know what? Before I go, I have one final question that I forgot to ask you. And I really want to get a little bit of understanding around some of the social issues that you were talking about, that as part of your background, some of those social issues that you've been dealing with in the work that you're doing.
Well, right now, my biggest thing has been spiritual direction. I actually have we have to, in spiritual direction, you have to have clients, and I actually have a young lady. She's a young black woman, and she reached out to me. She said, as soon as I heard your name, Shonda, I knew, you know, you were black. And I said, well, as soon as I heard your name, I knew you were black. So we're laughing and we're joking. And we get along very mm-hmm. well. And she says, you know, there's things that when all of the George Floyd stuff happened, she says, there's so many things going on. I wanted to speak with another black woman that understands. And she says that, you know, in her sphere, in her realm where she was trying to get – as Christ, you know, in the church, she was saying, you know, are we going to talk about this? Are we going to talk about racism? And it's like it was a very uncomfortable conversation, and nobody wanted to talk about it. So she said there were certain things that she could only speak to me about, and that's mm-hmm. when I started feeling the enormity of, you know, what's really going on, even in the church realm. It's like, you know, some conversations are just too uncomfortable, so they just had agreed that they weren't going to speak about it. And like, you know, we're all followers of Jesus, all of, you know, and it came down to all lives matter, you know, all kinds of things like that, where some of the messaging was not getting across. It was not being understood. So then she said she started bragging on me so much that her sister wanted to hire me as a spiritual director. And her sister reached out to me and she says, hey, do you know any other black female spiritual directors? You know, because I know you're busy. And I just started crying, and I couldn't understand why I was crying. And I was crying because I don't know another black female spiritual director. And it just hit me like I didn't even notice. It's just so many things. And then so then I started, you know, she was asking me all kinds of questions surrounding race and so many things I hadn't had to deal with before. I grew up military. My father was in the military, and we were just we didn't see color. Like I hate to even say that because it sounds so dismissive, but as a little kid, you know, they show you, you'll play with anybody. So we grew up, we're Air Force Base. We're all surrounded, grew up very protected in a bubble. And I live in a little, I live in a little small town. So once again, been surrounded by the same people 20 years. So when all of this stuff started happening, it's like it all hits, like, you know. And so then I had, you know, people were asking me, well, what should I do? And I'm like, well, why are you looking at me? I don't know what to do. So, you know, I had to, you know, and then to talk my children through it, you know, my favorite episode of Blackish was when his children, it was a young black couple, and they had children, and their children were surprised that Barack Obama was the first black president. Like, what? Like, they were shocked. And I remember laughing so hard, but there's just so much stuff surrounding race, being a woman, you know, and looking at the current climate that we're in that makes you, like, no longer be able to ignore certain things, even as a Christian, even though I love my fellow brothers and sisters, it's we've got to have these conversations. And that's what I've discovered as well. It's like, you know, Jesus never shied away from a conversation. And it's like, it's my responsibility now. And I started studying and being part of stations and not just having conversations to combat racism, which was something I never thought I would do, because it's another thing. Mm-hmm. Like, does this fit? And it's like, yes, you're instilling freedom. You're instilling the you know, you're having the conversations, and even having to, once again, be brave and tell some of my non-black friends, that's not okay. I don't care how long you've known me. I'm going to say it. I don't support Candace Owens. Don't ever, ever send me a video of hers again. So even having those conversations and then realizing that people that I've been surrounded by for 20 years had these thoughts that I'm like, what, are you kidding me? Are we reading the same Bible? Yeah. So that goes again to that's the climate that we're in and the social issues that I'm facing right now, as far as that's concerned. And I'm doing it in the spiritual realm. When I have those conversations, I go after Christians because it's like, you know, you're in leadership. This is not all right. Yes. And that's who I've been assigned to. Yes. Is, you know, getting leadership to think differently. I don't go and just, you're wrong, and you should just, no. If you're a Christian and you call yourself a leader, we're going to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to look at them as gatekeepers in some way.
Mm-hmm.
These leaders,
mm-hmm.
because we're holding them in a position where
mm-hmm.
they have influence over specific things, right? And so
mm-hmm.
you have to guard that with your life.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And to me, those
yes.
are gatekeepers. So that, you know, that is part of the conversation that has to continue, and we have to hold those individuals accountable for the positions that they hold.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
agree.
Why this, yeah, and I think that's why CEO Power Talk is so important, because not only are we sharing this space where we can talk about those important issues, and it's cool to get some tips on how we handle things and some of the different best practices that are out there, but the bottom line is
mm-hmm.
we have to share in our missions, but we also have to be talking about how we hold each other accountable for the space that you occupy.
Yes.
What are you
going
to bring to the table?
Bravery.
I think that was very important.
Yes, that definitely takes bravery. And, you know, sometimes
yeah.
we can look at it as like, oh, I'm Black, I'm a woman. I look at it as like, wow, look at all of the different perspectives that you have that
mm-hmm.
you can bring to the table that somebody else
yes.
doesn't have. I bring an entirely different perspective than someone else that I might be thinking like, you know, you're so lucky, you have this. It's like I can bring a totally different perspective to the conversation that someone else cannot do. And I consider that a blessing, and I love it.
Yes.
And reading about, you know, our ancestors, and it's just been phenomenal. Like like I said, some conversations that I was scared to have or things that I was scared to learn. Bravery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bravery to say yes and just go for it.
Well, and bravery to step into that space that you were being called into. Not
mm-hmm.
sure how you would operate there, right? We cannot shy away from these very important opportunities.
No, I totally agree, because when I started working for, there's so much stuff I do. When I started working with the human trafficking fundraising and having to read those stories and having to step into that world, I'm like, God, I'm a funny person. You know, I was like, this is, you know, I'm the happy person that tells jokes. Like, this is too serious for me. And it's like, you know, like I said, the stage is big. It's a big stage.
Yes.
You got to, you
yes.
know, it's a big stage, and it's not always about, okay, you're funny, but I'm funny, but I don't get the right to limit myself. I have to break my own rules of everything I do has got to be funny and entertaining. It's like, no,
mm-hmm.
I went and worked, you know, and did the human trafficking. I still volunteer for that, but it's a very serious
mm-hmm.
issue. And I'm like, people aren't going to take me serious. And it's like, he told Moses, you tell him I am sent you. It's like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
how can you argue with that?
Mm-hmm.
I am sent me.
You
sent
can't.
You. It's like, whoa.
And,
I know,
and then you keep
I know
saying
this is
and...
not what. There you go. It's like, I know this is not what you were expecting, and you're expecting something else, but we're here to talk about some serious adult issues. We're here to talk about racism.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about human trafficking. I understand, you know, maybe I'll tell you a joke on another day, but right now I'm here for a different type of business. And there you go.
Right. Yes. My dear Shonda, thank you so much for your time tonight, for this interview. It's so very powerful. And I know that we're going to have many, many listeners tuning into this after the fact, and I appreciate that so much. So I would like to just thank my guest, Shonda Carter, my CEO Power Talk community, my marketing team for ensuring that our voices are heard through the CEO Power Talk podcast program. Thank you to our sponsors, Living Vertical Radio, and of course, you can follow us on blogtalkradio.com/livingvertical. And you can also follow us on our social media pages, CEO Power Talk on Facebook and CEO Power Talk on Instagram. You can listen to this tape recorded program on blogtalkradio.com/livingvertical. My next show, November 10th at 6 p.m., where we'll be talking about how to balance big profit and big purpose with master CEOs. I hope you'll join me there. And just a reminder, as we quickly approach the holiday season, don't forget to pick up your copy of my latest book, All Grown Up, The Road Less Traveled, which can be found on my website at www.lauracbullock.com. It's a great gift for the aspiring woman in your life, so make sure you pick that up. Thank you so much for listening. This is your host, Laura C. Bullock, and you are tuned in to CEO Power Talk.